Our scripture today is not in Romans. If I know. I wanted to do some in preparation for Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter. And so I wanted to do this from Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 and through 19, and start turning our minds toward the Holy Week. Matthew chapter 20, 17 through 19. Now, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. One of the things I love so much about the Lord Jesus is that he's a truth teller. He tells it like it is. And this is his third warning to his disciples. I've come to die. I'm going to Jerusalem, and they're going to kill me. And in one of the places in Matthew 16, he kind of emphasizes the shame of the rejection, that the leadership are going to reject him, whom the disciples love. And he talks about the cross in the second. And this one, he emphasizes that they're going up, and this is the purpose of his going, that he might be crucified. It gives kind of the detail of how much that's going to cost. That's the most brutal kind of death that you could imagine. And the disciples don't get it. John and James, if you read the immediate portion of Scripture following this that I've read, James and John send Mama to Jesus. Right after Jesus said, "I'm going up and I'm going to die. I'm going to be rejected and killed and hung on the cross and die, and after 3 days rise to life." And James and John's Mama comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, grant me three wishes," or, "Can you do me a favor? Can you let one of my boys be on your right hand and the other on your left in the kingdom?" And what they're still seeing, they've been intoxicated by the great crowds of people following Jesus. It's been a fun ride in many ways. And they can see that there's a kingdom coming, but they imagine a kingdom where there's going to be an administration, and they want one to be the vice president and one to be the secretary of state. Give me the best jobs in the kingdom. And what I want us to remember as we're preparing for Holy Week is that we're called to walk in the footprints of Jesus, and the end is the resurrection and eternal life and the glories of paradise and walking on streets of gold and eating at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I hope they've got some kung pao chicken. I hope it's not. Noel thinks it's going to be, you know, celery and vegetables. And I don't know. But it's going to be a glorious day in that day when Jesus comes. It's going to be a great getting up morning. And we'll talk more about that at James's service, where I'm going to be talking about, Lord willing, 1 Corinthians 15, that this corruptible must put on incorruption. It's going to be a great day. But we've got to tell honestly that it goes through the way of the cross. And in following Christ, there's going to be some tough times. And I don't want you to be surprised by that. Now, Emily was hired for a job one time. They advertised the job as office manager. But when she got the job, she was asked to do bill collecting. That's not the same thing. You know, can you tell the difference between those two things? office manager is not the same as bill collector. Jesus, when he tells the disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, he also teaches them this is going to be by the way of the cross. Now, you might be thinking, you know, Russell, are you really one to talk the way of the cross? I mean, you look kind of fat and happy. And I am fat and happy. I, in order to teach the scripture, it's got to be more than just about me. I'm not saying I've never suffered for Christ. But I recognize that the Christians in North Korea are really walking the Calvary Road. And the Christians in Iran are suffering for Jesus Christ. In many places and through most of history, this teaching had very important implications for people, in for them to understand it's going to cost me something. I don't want to be the kind of preacher that says, you come to Jesus and all your problems will go away. That's not what Jesus says. He says, we're going to go up to Jerusalem. Now, Thomas gets a lot of chaff, or he gets a hard nickname. What's his nickname? Doubting Thomas, yeah. That's because after the resurrection, you know, he's got everybody telling him Jesus has come to life, and he says, I don't think so. So it's a certain kind of personality there that Thomas has got. But before the crucifixion, when Jesus is at the graveside with or going to the graveside of his friend Lazarus, Jesus says, I'm going up to Jerusalem. And the disciples say, Lord, you know, they were trying to kill you last time you went there. And Jesus says, it's daylight and I've got to work while there's light of day. And then Thomas says to the disciples, let's go with him that we may die with him. See, he doesn't even know about the resurrection. And when the resurrection comes, he doesn't even believe it until he sees Jesus face to face. But he is determined to stick with Jesus. That's what I aspire for us. To praise the Lord for the good times, but to be faithful in the bad times. Now, you never see me. I don't know as you ever see me in a bad mood. Because I know it's not in your best interest for you to see me crabbing at people. You wouldn't like that very much. They wouldn't like me very much in a bad mood, would they, Noel? No. So I know that it's my responsibility to be in the Spirit when I get up behind the pulpit on a Sunday. So I'm a little bit like the athlete that's going to go to bed early on the day before the big game. So I am thinking Saturday night I want to be rested and ready for Sunday, and I get up so I can get prayed up and filled with the Spirit so that you don't have to come to church and see me be a grump. So you don't see me, I don't know, as I suffer very much. But there have been times when I've had to walk the Calvary Road myself. And there are times, I want you to know, there are going to be times if you follow Jesus Christ, it's going to be hard. And it's worth it. It's worth it. Paul says he was in the city of Philippi, and he got arrested and he got flogged and he and Barnabas got thrown in jail, or Silas, he and Silas got thrown in jail, put in the stocks, and the Lord brought an earthquake. They got out and the town fathers say, you can leave now. And he said, well, I'm not leaving without a public apology. They came to bring him out of the town. And the next town he went to was Thessalonica. And as he's preaching the gospel to the people in Thessalonica, he says, if you follow Christ, you will suffer for Christ. We know that because in 1 Thessalonians, he says to the people, he gets run out of Thessalonica too, and he writes them a letter, and he says, you know that the gospel came to you with power, and you know because you suffer for Christ like I told you you would. That doesn't seem like a very, very American sales pitch, does it? You do this, there's going to be some tough things. This is the Calvary Road. This is the Calvary Road. And all of us, even if you're me, fat and happy, all of us have got to say no to ourselves. And that's one of the hardest things there is to do. You want to buy something. You want to buy it so badly that you can taste it. And then your wife says to you, did you pray about this? And it feels just like dying. Why did she have to say that? That's some of you that happened to, not me. Integrity wouldn't be a big deal if it were easy. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you want to eat something and the Lord says no. Sometimes you have a very, very clever remark that comes to mind. And you know by God's Holy Spirit, you know that you're not supposed to say that clever thing that the devil gave you. And it feels, now we're not going to go to jail in the United States, praise the Lord. Our children aren't going to lose their education in the United States because we're Christians. There are lots of benefits to me. I am blessed to be in a fellowship with you. I have a friend, he carries a concealed weapons permit, and I mean he's got one, he carries a concealed weapon, and at different times I've talked with him about, should I? I said, I don't hang around with that group of people. I got nobody threatening my life on a regular basis. And so I've got some great blessings that have come to me as a result of following Jesus Christ. I want to acknowledge that God has looked after me. You have looked after me. You have blessed me. And I just want to be careful and faithful to say there's some tough things about being a Christian. And don't be surprised. And if you're not a Christian and you're wondering, well, I was thinking about becoming a Christian till today. It's worth it to be in Christ's presence. Job says in the midst of all of his crisis, the devil comes before the Lord and he asks for permission to tempt and test Job, and Job loses all his money, and he loses his houses, and he loses all his children. And Job says, naked I came into this world, and naked I will leave. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. What else did he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, Job has some hard times. You read the whole book of Job. There about chapter 19, he's at a very low place. And so he doesn't make it through perfectly. But he makes it through when he gets the Lord's presence. There about chapter 19, he says, God, I'll say it right out loud, he says, God has wronged me. Which is what the devil was trying to get Job to say. He says it there. But then God reveals himself to Job in a storm. And when the Lord is there in His fullness, and He's in the presence of God, He said, I spoke too quickly. I spoke wrong about God. And God doesn't explain to Job in the book of Job exactly why all of the suffering came. But Job was comforted just by the presence of God. And I want to say the presence of Christ in your life by His Holy Spirit is more important than having all the answers in the world. Because though there are lots and lots of answers in the Scripture about why there's suffering in the world, when you're really in a hard spot, in a dark place, the only thing that really is going to help is the presence of Christ and His people. We need people to be with us in the bad place. And that's one of the blessings of being in a fellowship like this. Sometimes we do things in the Church of Christ and we do them for the wrong reasons. We acknowledge that. God has never been dependent upon perfect Christians to get the gospel out, because Jesus Christ is the only perfect one. But let's make it up our minds that we're going to be tough. I went to visit my son when he was in basic training at Marine Corps, Camp Lejeune. And he was pumped, I'll tell you. We visited him, and they did all the stuff they do to break Marines, and he just as happy as he could be obeying orders. And as we went out, as we were leaving the camp, we saw around the flagpole five or six Marine recruits who did not look very happy. And they were there because they were giving a pep talk, and they were supposed to look at the flag and hear the bugle, and that was supposed to get them to understand when you signed up to be Marine, you understood it was going to be tough. Evidently, they thought it was going to be like summer camp, and it wasn't like summer camp. Well, I will say I've been at summer camp as a Christian, and it's pretty fun. But there are some tough things. And let's encourage each other and strengthen each other in our faith and lift each other up when we're down and help each other to walk in the narrow way. Let's bow together in prayer.